A lot of people can't hear it.
Time to right, shine.
Right here, this part. Right there. You hear that one over here?
I do, yeah.
Man, that intro music really just makes me want to like light fires and dance naked and stuff, you know? Like it's...
I just wanted to dance, man, but if you want... <I'm> a...
shit. welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that intro outro music, you know. And, you know, I'm excited for this week's episode. I'm pretty pumped, actually. I recently sat down and had coffee with Omar Muhammad, you know, from Edmonton here. The future mayor of Edmonton, you know. And, you know, I'm excited to have him. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing, man? How's your day's been good so far?
It's coming to an end, you know. The last couple of weeks have been pretty stressful, I'm not gonna lie, you know, one thing after another, from writing off my car to, you know, dealing with, you know, post-injury stuff, right? You know, like,
yeah.
We're coming to the end of my days off here. I'm going back to work in a couple days. By the time you hear this, I've been back to work for about a week. But yeah, so I'm heading back to work here. It's not an ideal situation. I don't want to get into it, but it's been very stressful the last couple of days. You know, it just seems like just as, you know, things are starting to calm down, the phone rings and it's some more news, right? And it's like, wow, you know, like when does this shit stop?
I hear you, man. You know, it's, I'm mid 40s now. So, you know, it's just like job after job after job just keeps piling up. And, you know, I always talk to, you know, men my age, just particularly, you know, workers, grinders, you know, if we're doing the heavy lifting. I was a mechanic for many years and a lot of, you know, maintain friendships with a lot of these guys, and they, you know, working really hard and taking care of yourselves, getting checked out by the doctors, a very common theme nowadays. And, you know, health is so important, but also working through those injuries, don't sit still, you know, push through, you know, that's where a lot of us are at right now. And, you know, I feel we don't talk about that enough.
No, we don't, you know. And, you know, the podcast has been pretty, we're pretty big on, you know, blue collar and mental health and combining the two. Well, you know, we don't talk a lot about, you know, what happens when a blue collar guy gets injured at work and the mental health toll that takes. Right.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, it's not just the mental health toll of sitting around and healing and waiting for things to get better, but then, you know, integrating back into the workforce afterwards, right? A lot has changed in 4 months, right? I'm not the same guy I was 4 months ago, you know, like, and, you know, maybe a lot of people that have listened to this podcast for quite a while, you know, they've seen that transformation just in the last 4 months, never mind the last 2 years, right? So
absolutely. Yeah, a lot of things, you know, whenever you take a, you know, even a big chunk of time off work, and, you know, as life goes on, things change. And so it's like going to that new job again. And sometimes there's that, you know, pre-work nerves again. And that takes a stress of its own, you know, getting back into the regular grind of things, you know. So yeah, I hear you, brother.
Yeah, I remember the last time I was there, I got hurt. Right.
Yeah, that's true. And that
to mind, right?
Back to your mind.
Am I going to get hurt again? This is the place where I got injured.
Right.
Am I going to get injured again? Right. You know, a lot of other things were happening in my life at that point in time too, that take me back. Well, last time I was here, I felt like this. Mm-hmm. And over the last 4 months, I've healed in these ways. Right. And, you know, the podcast was sponsored by BetterHelp for the last 3 months. Right. So, you know, we talked a lot of good mental health stuff and I got free therapy out of that. Right. So I learned a lot about myself in that time. Right. So yeah, it was pretty cool, pretty scary, a lot, very emotional.
Very good. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, a lot of guys our age, particularly my age, you know, even getting therapy sometimes is a taboo thing. And, you know, it always helps to talk things out, to organize your own thoughts. And I strongly advise anybody, you know yourself, you know, feel free, reach out. There's a lot of resources online and don't be afraid to get, you know, get help, you know, or get some advice or get some therapy. Therapy is not, you know, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's, you know, can help you organize your thoughts. And would you say, you know, you're a stronger person because of it, you know? So,
oh man, I'm a better person. That's for sure. Maybe, who knows?
I like you, man. Yeah. So
we'll define out.
Yeah.
So, man, we were sitting down. I remember when we were having coffee there a couple weeks ago. Right. And you were telling me where you're from originally, like your Because your name's Omar Muhammad, right?
That's right, sir. Yeah.
So like, okay, where are you from? Like, what's your background? What's your ethnicity? This really threw me for a loop.
Yeah. So nationally, my dad is Pakistani, but originally from Bihar, India. So from India. And my mom is a Maritimer. So I'm Scottish, Irish, French, but I'm Viking. So I spit one of those containers. I'm 51% Viking, brother. So I'm a mutt. You know, I'm born here in Edmonton. My parents met in the 70s. You know, it was probably some wild times, you know, how they got together. You know, I wish I was more presently there to kind of find out how that went down. But yeah, I'm the result, Omar Mohammed. You know, most people go by me as I'm a half Pakistani, half Newfie. You know, I'm a East Coast brown guy, right? So that's you don't find too many of my kind.
No, man, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's what I thought, you know. And you know, you told me, oh yeah, I thought I heard Newfie in there, right? Like I asked you at first, and you're like, yeah, I'm like you know, Middle Eastern sort of Newfie. And I'm like, wait, what? Stop it, you know, like it's crazy.
Yes, sir. That's wild. Amen to that, man. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a wild ride. We had, you know, growing up got to have that mixed culture experience in Edmonton, Alberta, right? So, you know, the Pakistani side, got to celebrate East Coast Christmas, you know, Santa's my brother, you know, and all the East Coast Christmas carols. And, you know, it was a big hodgepodge growing up. So, yeah, I got a good perspective and, you know, a good love for everybody, you know. So
Jig's dinner, right?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Bye.
Yes, come on. Oh, fuck, man. That's awesome, dude. Man, like... What originally attracted me to you, you know, I saw your video of you rapping about running for mayor and the things you want to change and stuff like that, right? And mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell is this, right? And then, you know, it turns out, hey, you're a mayor. You're a dentist, sorry.
That's right.
You're a dentist. You're running for mayor. Sorry, I got, you know, I was going to say you're a mayor running for a dentist, you know, no. But yeah, you're a dentist, you're running for mayor, you sold your practice so you essentially, you know, do this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, you got a unique style for music. You're a rapper too, right?
Well, I'm not a rapper per se. Yeah, that was my first rap song I ever did, but I'm a doer. You know, I really believe in creating. I really believe in, you know, doing what I say. And you know, that idea popped in my head. I reached out from an old buddy, you know, from back in the day, and try something new. You know, you know, a lot of people like the song. I mean, I don't call myself a rapper, but I mean, I guess I officially am a recording artist now that I have one track out. And yeah, I'm a doer, and I like to do things and put my full heart out into whatever I do, and no regrets, right? And I'm really happy. And when people, you know, say they like the song, a lot of people have told me that, and you know, it makes you feel good, right? But you know, just, it's a check mark, a big check mark. I also do ring announcing. It's another one of those same kind of, you know, let's just do it.
Hear it in your voice.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. So, I do that and auctioning, you know, I do, I'm a charity auctioneer. I've been auctioning since, 2015, raised millions of dollars for local initiatives because, you know, I like to get fulfilled that way, but I like to have fun doing things and I like to, you know, do things 100% as best as I possibly can always. So yeah. And now we're running for mayor because we see the, you know, the problems in our city. So, and I'm not a talker, I'm a doer. And that's where hopefully that gives you kind of my archetype of where I lay there. So
you want to walk the walk and talk the talk.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, can you auction something off for us right now?
Sure. We'll auction off that hat. To any of the listeners right now, we got a 10, a bit, a 10, a bit, a 1, 1. Now, bid now, who'd have been 200? 2, and a bit, 3, and a bit, now, 4, who'd have been 500? We got 6 and 7, and a bit, now, 9. 9, a bit, a 9, a bit, a 10, a bit, a 10, a bit, a 1. There you go. We got $1,000 for your hat to George over there.
George, guy with no hat on. Now you have a hat.
You got a hat.
I love that. Yo, I actually learned, what was it, last summer? Maybe I think it was last summer. I learned that auctioneering is actually a trade.
It is, yeah. And you can go to school for it. You know, but, you know, me being in the charitable sector, I've been in around the world doing development, sustainability. I kind of rolled in these circles. And, you know, because of it, I've been around charity auctioneers quite a bit. My brother-in-law is an auctioneer. And, you know, I just kind of fell into it, and I was sold the first time I tried it out. You know, the excitement, bringing people together for a positive cause. There was a lot of good in it. And, you know, it's a nice cheap way to give back without having to fully give back, because the going rate's usually 10%, which I donate back. But you know, it's a cool way to give some give back. So I, there's no negatives for me auctioning. And you know, it is a dying art, you know, with the online auctions, just like a lot of industries. And I like to keep that energy alive because, hey man, if we can get money towards the right initiatives with causing positive energy, why the heck not? So that's yeah. So it's one of my favorite things to do. I'll fly places to do auctioning. So any charity auctioneers or auctions out there, contact me. It's if I'm available, it's always a yes.
Love that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, brother.
So as we were saying, like you're a dentist, right? And yeah. you have this practice or had this practice that you recently, you know, sold to run for mayor. How did you become a dentist? Because like I remember you saying that you were homeless at one point. That's you right. were a heavy duty mechanic at one point.
Like, light duty, yeah. Not heavy duty, but yeah.
How did we get from, you know, light duty to homeless to dentist to where you are now?
Oh my goodness. All right. So yeah, growing up here in Edmonton, you know, been scattered quite a bit. I went out east. I still have a little bit of an East Coast twang to me. But you know, as young as I remember, you know, moved all the way out to Moncton, New Brunswick. Came back here, first time slipped in a shelter was probably about grade 5. Second time, grade 8. First time on my own, grade 8, selling friendship bracelets. You know, kind of hustling, trying to grind, getting some food together.
And Taylor Swift would be proud.
Yeah, yeah, the GIM bracelets. And yeah, the last time I slept in my car was 17. But really, how I got ahead was always, you know, one thing I'd have to say is that I've always been a give backer, and because of that, I've always surrounded myself with people that are better than me. And you know, Edmonton back then was such a different place. There were so many more resources. You know, it was the relationships I made here in Edmonton which allowed me to break that threshold. And you know, I went to university, grinded. You know, just it was a thing to do. You know, surrounding yourself with people doing the same, and you know, eventually became a dentist. And you know, while I was a dental student, I've you know, always given back and traveling around the world. And then I get a call from the director of the University of Manitoba Pediatric Dental Department asking me to specialize in pediatric dentistry. And so a lot of that was due to my work with kids. And, you know, sometimes people are listening that you otherwise don't see. And yeah, and then I've been a pediatric dental surgeon here in Edmonton since 2016. Prior to which, I mean, I've had a lot of jobs. I've been a mechanic. I used to work for Crosstown Motors. You know, a popsicle man, deliver newspapers, you know, you name it. You know, I've done tons of jobs here in Edmonton, always working hard. But again, Edmonton was so much different back then. Things were more affordable. You know, a guy like me could actually break through. It was less of a threshold to break. And, yeah. You know, that's kind of my long story short to my journey. But, you know, ever since I've been back, you know, I've been seeing these tents pop up and I'm like, what the heck happened? And, you know, I finally had enough. So I jumped in the race to run for mayor of Edmonton here.
Good for you, man. We lived in Edmonton. Jeez, how long ago was that? Oh, man, we lived in Edmonton, you know, for 6 years. We came from Ontario. We went to BC, Saskatchewan, Edmonton. Lived here for 6 years, and then we moved back to Ontario for a little bit. And then when we came back, we went to Calgary, right? And we were there for 2 years. We've been back here in Edmonton for, geez, north side of Edmonton, two years now, 2.5 years, I'd say. And so altogether, you know, like 8 years in Edmonton, right? And, you know, the first 6 years we were here, man, you know, it was even a different city then, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't been very long where, you know, the city's kind of been the way it is. It's only been in the last few years, right? One thing I noticed was, yeah, there's a lot more tents. There's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more drugs on the street. There's a lot more, you know, just a lot more crime, you know, and you and I were talking about that, you know, when we were having coffee, you know, it's not even the drugs on the street that's the worry, right? It's what about the drugs in the houses that we're not seeing?
That's right.
You're seeing all these people overdosing on the street. What about the people that you're not seeing overdose in their house? Right. And that's sad, man. You know, my daughter and I, we were walking to the park a couple weeks back and, we went through a parkette near our house and she's like, look, Dad, there's some homeless people over there. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I wonder what their origin story is. Right. Wow. And she's 5. Right.
That's amazing. Five, that's yeah. Right? You don't hear that. Yeah.
No. And, you know, I'm like, it probably starts with, you know, a little bit of a hard time, right? You know, you know, so yeah, it's pretty wild, you know, when you think about that. And, you know, two winters ago now, I saw someone get Narcan for the first time downtown. Mm-hmm. I had never seen that before, right? And she was like, just lying there like that. Her two friends were on either side of her. They were both crying. And some guy was like slapping her in the face, right? Mm-hmm. And then he pulls something out of his pocket, stabs her in the leg. And she's like, right? And just like she was gone. And then she's not. She's here, right? And that's that's sad. That is very sad.
That's right. And we're seeing, and you're absolutely right. So opiates is, you know, it's all over our streets in Edmonton. It's also in our house, usually pharmaceuticals, drug companies and whatnot. But the big problem on our streets, now that we didn't have back in 2009 when we had a big plan to end homelessness is there's a lot of fentanyl on our streets. Yep. And fentanyl is an opiate. It's highly addictive to the point where withdrawal effects themselves can actually cause death. But what you're seeing is you're having a lot of people overdose a lot, and to the point where we have ambulances response times completely change. If you get a heart attack now in Edmonton, and this is from one of the senior EMS workers, you'll be waiting on average about 12 minutes now for an ambulance to arrive when it used to be 8. And I'll tell you, those 4 minutes in a heart attack, really matter, you know, and you've got Edmontonians dying. And now for me, the answer is not adding more ambulances. The answer is, why do people need ambulances to begin with, right? We have to have a little bit more upstream thinking. That has to deal with mental health, addiction supports, and with the homelessness situation, housing first solutions. This actually will save us money in the long run, and not that much long run. You know, we always judge a city how we, you know, treat the vulnerable. And right now, I strongly believe Edmonton is failing. We know better. Now is the time to do better. So. Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right, sir.
When I had my accident, I was given fentanyl almost right away. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, hell of a drug, right? Couldn't feel anything, but it felt good, that's for sure, mm-hmm. right? And I didn't even get that much, right? It wasn't that much. It was barely anything. It was enough to keep me from feeling anything. Mm-hmm. Right? And I was just like, whoa, right? And I was joking around with the nurses at the hospital, you know? I'm like, hey, someone go get me a booster juice. Right? And they said something like, they were like, sorry, you're not allowed to have anything oral. And I'm like, I never said it was going to be oral, right? Just laughing around.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And, mm-hmm. But, you know, like just stuff like that. And yeah, man, like I get it. I understand. I've said that a bunch of times, you know, like when mm-hmm. you see the people that fall on hard times, right? And they're living out on the street. I understand. I get why they're doing it. I get it. I don't support it. I don't like it, but I understand. Yeah. You're trying to numb yourself to your situation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's you shouldn't even be in that situation.
No. So, you know, I work solely with kids, man. I'm a pediatric dental surgeon. So I always ask kids what you want to be when you're older. It's one of the questions I ask every single patient. You know, I'll tell you, zero kids ever say they want to be homeless. Zero kids ever say they want to be addicted to opiates, right? Nobody wants to be a crackhead, if I can, you know, be blunt. Nobody says that. Yeah. A lot of things have had to have gone wrong in your life for you to end up homeless. A lot of things have had to have gone wrong in your life for you to want to, you know, be in that situation where you're addicted to drugs. Now, you know, a philosophy of mine is that, and this is in research as well, is that, you know, if we really want to combat addictions here, you know, it's not only about sobriety. You know, getting off the drug, you know, you could hold somebody down for 60 days and, you know, eventually get the drugs out of their system. And anybody that's, you know, dealt with this, you know, with a family member or anybody close to them will understand that there's a high rate of people going back to the drug. It's because you haven't solved all the problems, right? It's not about sobriety. It's about connection, right? And yeah, that's why I'm a very strong advocate of vocational services in, you know, in Housing First Solutions, mental health supports, addiction supports, and vocational services. And we were talking a little bit about going back to work. Work also gives you stability. It gives you a social group. But most importantly, and part of it, is that it gives you financial stability, which is a lot of reasons why people get depressed to begin with, because, you know, we're a commerce environment. You know, we need to buy things to survive. And, you know, if you can give people some solutions, you'll actually see in research, I'm not making this up, that, you know, you'll have way less people going back to the opiates. And, you know, we've got to start implementing these real world solutions that actually work.
Yeah. You were saying, you know, building the houses and stuff like that, and, you know, it'll cost money to build that and feed all these resources, right? Mm-hmm. And people are gonna be like, well, where are we gonna get the money from? And then you were telling me, you know, some secrets, you know, that the city doesn't want you to know, where they're wasting it, right? They're just throwing hundreds of millions of dollars away.
Well, it depends who you ask, right? But I strongly believe that Edmontonians don't want the kind of projects that are being built around Edmonton. When you actually start digging and you look at, you know, $320 million rec centers that look like works of art, when we have 5,000 people that are homeless and about 1,000 putting their face on the concrete tonight to go to sleep, well, then you got to start asking yourself, well, is that the way we should be going? All while property taxes are going up and it's affecting us all. You know, I'm a person that wants to run. I'm running for mayor because I want to put forward things that affect all Edmontonians, that are going to benefit all Edmontonians. And one of those is security. When home insecurity goes down, food insecurity goes down, guess what happens to actual security? It also goes down, right? Yeah.
When everything goes down,
we're going to be less secure. Crime is going to go up. Yes. And you know, that's what's going to happen. People are going to become more desperate or more in need. It's not even out of greed. You know, I've been there. I mean, I know that spot. I know when you have nothing, what your mentality is. And if you don't get that filled, you're going to find that one way or another. And so crime goes up, right? And now we've got fentanyl on the streets, which, you know, increases that level of desperation. We need some real solutions here. And, you know, for all of us. And that's not building libraries that look like works of art. Libraries, yes. Works of art libraries, let's reconsider that. Bike lanes, yes. Bike lanes on the middle of 199th Street and 194th Avenue in the middle of nowhere, maybe we should start reconsidering that. Maybe, you know, it's time to alter course a little bit. And, yeah. You know, and that's the kind of stuff that I'm bringing to the table, you know, running for mayor here.
Yeah, there's a bike lane two blocks over from me down on the side street. Doesn't need to be there, right? You know, and then you're going down, you know, 118 and there's no bike lane. Right. Put a bike lane down 118. Sure. Right. Sure. That road needs it 100%. Put a bike road down 128 or whatever. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where people are going to use things, you know, where it's going to benefit, you know, majority of Edmontonians, you know, and for everybody. Right. Or where we're going to actually, we need to prioritize the things that we're using and where we're using them, what the people need, what Edmontonians want. And that we can afford. I mean, we have a $3.8 billion operating budget this year, right? It's a lot of money, you know, and we just got to put that forth, you know, wisely.
Yeah, absolutely. When did you decide, like, you know, hey, you know, I could run, I could do this, and I might have a chance, you know, if I put my hat in the ring? Well, the answer is always no if I don't, you know, mm-hmm. But, you know, when did you decide, like, hey, I want to run, I'm going to do it. And, you know, these are my ideas. And, you know, to go up against guys like Tim Carmel and Andrew Knack, you know, like two heavyweights, right? It's like, how did you decide, you know what, I'm going to run against these guys? And you know what, David versus Goliath, this, you know?
Oh, thank you for the David versus Goliath reference. But I know the exact moment I decided I was going to run. And that's when I was doing surgery. Like I said, I was a pediatric dental surgeon. I was grinding away at some teeth, fixing up some cavities. And a couple of anesthesiologists I work with just casually mentioned that last toe they cut off. And this was in the wintertime. This was in November. And I said, come again. Would you mind, you know, describing what just happened and how are you so nonchalant about that? They're like, oh, well, this happens all the time. I found out that day that there was 110 amputations last year in our homelessness population. And like I was mentioning before on coffee, I mean, I've been around the world working on development, sustainability, helping people outside of Edmonton break thresholds and poverty thresholds. And I was like, excuse me, this is happening here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada? You know, beds, sir, at the hospital are $3,500 a bed per night. And, you know, forget about the surgery cost. Forget about the anesthesiologist that's now held up, not providing another Edmontonian surgery for maybe waiting for cancer or anything. You know what I mean? Like, we're waiting for surgeries. And so this is an obvious win-win-win solution here. I mean, if I don't accept the fact that we cut off 110 limbs last year just due to frostbite and homeless. You know, that's a big indicator we're doing something wrong. And then I start digging a little bit that week and I find out, well, how many people are going to the food bank? And then I understand that it's 47,000 unique Edmontonians are using the food bank every month, up 50% in the last 2 years. And I said, what the heck is happening here? So, sir, that was the time I said, you know what? I'm running for mayor because there's something askew here. And so that was the moment, you know, to answer your question. Yeah, everybody has that one moment, you know.
And we were talking about that too, you know, 47,000 that are willingly using it and just, you know, finally at the point, right? How many people are sitting at home needing to use it, but are like, you know, pride's in the way, right? And, you know, it's a thing, right? Like, how many people need it that aren't using it?
Absolutely. And another thing that you'll see if you ever go by the food bank is you'll see a lot of newer cars there. You know, you'll see BMWs, you'll see Mercedes, you'll see newer Hondas. And you know what? When you inquire, the same people that used to donate to the food bank are now using the food bank. So now when we get back to property taxes going up, you know, 80 to 100, 200 bucks, depending on your property assessment value every month, you know what? That makes a big difference on people. And that means that probably if there's 47,000 people using the food bank, that means there's probably about 200,000 of us that are really having to work hard even to make ends meet. What's that doing to family life? What's that doing to Edmonton? Are we building these big projects? This is not the time for vanity. This is the time to buckle down and, you know, set things straight. Yeah.
Absolutely. And with that, I put on social media before we came on here that I was recording a podcast with the future mayor of Edmonton today. And, you know, I'm like, anybody got any questions? What do I ask a guy like that? Right. And, right. You know, like, I got some pretty interesting ones here.
All right.
You know, the number one question that everybody wants to know is, what are we going to do to make sure McDavid resigns here next year?
Well, we put this joke out there, and I do this with my friends. I go, you know why we didn't win the cup this year? I said, Omar wins, Mayor, then the Oilers win, right? We're going to put that as our number one platform. So we'll tell McDavid, don't worry, Meddy. You know, once I'm mayor, you'll finally get that cup. You deserve it. You deserve it, man.
That's crazy. This one says, those bike lanes make it hard to turn trucks onto the lane. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Are his plans to install more stupid pieces of art? Will his plans on crime / drugs, or what are your plans on crime and drugs? Can you get rid of the stupid 40 kilometers an hour? Bring back bags that aren't paid for. And wow. That's a big one. You know, the paper straws and the paper bags, you know, a big one for, you know, even me. Mm-hmm. You know, I live on the north side. If I go to McDonald's down the street from my house, I'm paying like 50 cents for a bag. But if I drive the 10 minutes to Sherwood Park, you know, I don't pay money. I don't pay extra money for a paper bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it's one of those, you know, it's not the reason I sold my practice to jump in to run for mayor was the single use bylaw. But it is a thing that a lot of people have come up to me about. And, you know, I wish to honor the wishes of Edmontonians. So, you know, I'm going to represent what Edmonton wants. Yeah. And that was a big one. So I started doing some digging in terms of our bylaws here. And, you know, the single use is regulated there legislated at the federal level. There was an appeal on that and repeal on that. But Edmonton made our own bylaw. And in that, we added the $2 for the reusable bag and 25 cents for the paper bag. And most Edmontonians are very upset at this. And so I started doing some digging and looking at the net to the environment on this. And those reusable bags you get at Sobeys, you know, the bigger ones, they're a little bit heavier duty. They take about 20 times more plastic than your regular reusable bags. And then you look at human behavior, and most people were actually reusing these bags at home for garbage bags or to, you know, clean up the poop. Now you're having a, right? Yeah, right. Most of us did. I know I did myself. I don't just like to throw them away. Essentially, what's happening now is that people are buying them off the shelves because you still want your, you know, garbage for your washroom. You want your garbage or you pick up the poop. So you're buying them anyway. Another aspect of human behavior is what's happening is, I don't know about you, but I always forget these bags, right? And I end up buying them. I've got about 95 in my basement. I just threw away 300 last month, right?
Yep.
So the net environment has been horrific. Sorry, the net of this has been horrific for the environment. And again, I'm not making this up. I mean, you can look at UK journals of environment, and this stuff has been talked about. It's not working. Part of it's human behavior and trying to, you know, adding maybe a dollar figure to that. All that's that resulted in is that it's really angered a lot of Edmontonians that now have a whole bunch of plastic bags. And I've been looking for a lot of uses for these bags. I'm thinking about making clothes out of these. What do you think?
Do it. I'd buy it. I'd hang it on my wall.
Right. Or we should fill the potholes. If everybody wants to donate their bags back, let's fill all the potholes with these bags.
That was another thing. Where did that go? I believe that was something about here. I don't know if you follow Alberta Memes on Facebook.
No, but I will now.
No, Alberta Memes, good guy. He says, will he promise to keep taxes lower than a city pothole?
Potholes are one of those things that always comes up, you know, and as far as I can remember as an Edmontonian, every spring we complain about the potholes.
Yeah.
I often joke about, I want to bring Edmonton back to the days that all we complain about is the potholes. Potholes again, I'm not just, you know, trying to be facetious about it. You know, I believe that we should build our roads right, of course, and patch them fast. I mean, we live in an environment where we have a big freeze thaw cycle, and depending on the environment, we're going to have to deal with it. But, yep, you know, we got to get on it and patch it fast and bring our money back to our core services that Edmontonians want. Good garbage removal, which, you know, has been done pretty good. You know, we got to patch those roads fast. Yeah. We've got to build things people want, right? And you know, keep the money there, not these pet projects that I keep talking about that keep coming up, right?
Yeah. I have my thoughts on the new LRT line going in over the West Ed Mall and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Broad thoughts are, you know, public transit's going to help. We've got 50,000 Edmontonians coming here every year. So we want to keep our transportation network moving. But, you know, outside looking in, even before I decided to run for mayor, you know, it's not really that safe on the LRT. You know, if you're building multi-billion dollar projects, if you yourself, like say you were building a multi-billion dollar warehouse for yourself, wouldn't you want that warehouse secure? Wouldn't you want that place, especially if you have customers coming, like as a business?
Yep.
You know, the way we check tickets is like how we do in the 1800s. We let you on the train first, and then we ask you for your ticket, you know, and I've rode the LRT quite a bit. I'm usually dressed in a suit when I'm on my way to work or to the office downtown. But I never get asked if I purchased my ticket or not. You know, what actually happens is you get security asking a certain archetype of people, which is quite discriminatory, which is creating hostile environments. And there's obvious solutions here to make this a little more secure. You go to a movie theater, they ask you for proof of purchase. Do they not?
Yeah.
You know, that's a simple way to put it. But, you know, people obviously want to amalgamate somewhere, which is why I keep talking about housing first solutions and giving people a place to actually go, right? This is ultimately what's happening here. So back to the LRT, you know, I'm not against investing in infrastructure that's going to get us moving, but you'll find 17% of Edmontonians, these are polls that have been done, refuse to ride it because they don't feel that it's safe. You know, I've got a good business plan in that. You secure it up, we're going to start making some money and, you know, maybe get it going. So I'm not against it. I'm just against dumping all these billions of dollars before making it secure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. No, that's huge, dude. I know where I am with that. You know, it might be a little controversial or whatever, but where I am with the comes with that, you know, it's moving the riffraff around the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you know, West Ed Mall is already not like a very safe place either anymore. You know, like West Ed Mall's kind of like gone downhill a lot, right?
It has.
And then you make the LRT go there, right? And now you're moving people that are downtown that can't move anywhere from there. Now you're just like saying, hey, you know what? During Oilers game day, you know, move all these people out of here, get on that train and go over to the mall, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. You know, it's increasing security. But again, remember what I was saying back in research, you know, you get decreased security in the city when food insecurity and home insecurity goes up, man. It's, you know, and that's what I'm talking about, upstream solutions. Like, You know, you're always going to have crime. You're always, you know, like I'm not saying it's an on off switch here. Like we've always had crime in Edmonton, but the level of crime we're having or the perception of the safety that we're having is not what we're used to, you know? So
are you going to, another question was, are you going to have a slogan like mega make Edmonton great again?
It's time to shine.
There you go.
Harry, you want to hear my, you know, I'm as a ring announcer that is part of the slogan as well. That it's time to shine.
Let's hear.
I think it's a good segue. Here we go. The time has come. The time is now. It's time. It's time to shine. Now, there you go. You. That's the slogan. It's time to shine. And let's shine brighter together. I strongly believe in collaboration. I strongly believe in coming together to accomplish common goals. And I believe that we can do that as a government. I believe we can do that as a city. We know our city has actually lost almost complete relationship with our provincial government, our big papa, giving us a lot of funding for a lot of projects. And, you know, I that's another thing. I just looking outside in, you know, there's a lot better ways to do things. It's, you know, this political posturing that goes on is not necessarily the right answer here. So.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of time to shine, you, sir, have your own podcast.
I do. Yeah. So part of running for mayor, I thought it was a very good way to, you know, platform and, you know, the magic of a podcast. And just as we are right now, we're in the moment and we're having a great discussion. And, you know, so I decided, you know, as one of the angles, get some experts on and discuss and learn and grow together and bring different people together to introduce them. And, you know, mission accomplished. I've, you know, the podcast alone has brought some great people together with some great initiatives. And I've learned a ton. And, you know, you get to put it out there on a platform. You know, same with social media. I'm new to social media, you know, longtime observer. You won't find a lot of posts from me in the past. You know, could be my age or, you know, could be just who I am as a person. But, you know, running for office, I got a little more public. And, you know, I've seen the value of that, of putting some messages forward and working together on things. So yeah, it's called Shine Together, an Edmonton podcast. Thanks for the plug-in.
Oh, dude, I've listened to a couple episodes, man. You've got some great episodes in there. You know, you had that comedian, the two, I think they were both comedians, weren't they?
Both comedians. So yeah, the premise of the show is I bring, I allow one person essentially be the host and one person to be the guest. Really, we have a conversation all the ways, but then we have a little bit of an organic discussion. And we had Wayne Jones. He's a comedian from Edmonton, and you know he's gone to do things with Ford versus Ferrari and CBC This Is Us and Hockey Hall of Fame things. And he moved out to Ontario, but you know I've kept in touch with him. And Ahmed, we call him Ahmed two times, you know, because but a local comedian here in Edmonton. And you know we hit it off at a Kahoot game when I was emceeing it for a school project. And, you know, comedy, you know, I find is a very good way to communicate with people. You know, it's one of those platforms where you can kind of push the envelope a little bit, open up people's hearts and minds and sometimes get some messaging out. So, yeah, I did do a comedy podcast as well. And we talked about plastic bags and potholes and paper straws and
the new bylaws
and the new bylaws and the Edmonton Oilers and just had a real Edmontonian talk without all this legal jargon and infrastructure words of development and fiscal this and that, you know, just a bare bones daily Edmontonian discussion about, you know, the things that bug us day to day. And, you know, so. Yeah. So yeah, we get to do that a lot on that show. Yeah.
I like it, man. I've watched a couple episodes now, you know, and where can people find that?
You can find it on YouTube. YouTube's the first place I'll publish it, and then it'll follow up on Spotify usually a couple weeks later. But okay. YouTube, if you type in Shine Together and Edmonton Podcast, it comes right up.
I get 80% of my listens, 87%, 80% of my listens come from Apple.
Oh, wow.
Man, I'm telling you, you want to grow that podcast, start putting it on Apple.
All right. Well, I'll take it from the man that's been doing it for a while. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's good advice.
I get a lot on Apple. Then it comes, the second most is on Spotify, right? And then, you know, this is the other little ones here and there, but they all add up, right? And yeah, man, what really, when I went looking for your podcast, because I thought I saw a clip of it, and then we talked about it a little bit. I went looking for this thing. Man, like the camera angles, the couch, the nice studio, right? I was like, man, I've been doing this for over two years now. And like, you know, I record wherever I can. If I'm in camp, I'm in a hotel, I'm at home,
right?
You know, I record where I can. And that's kind of been, you know, like the identity of the podcast, right? You never know if I'm going to show up in the back seat of a truck, or if I'm going to be, you know, in a camp room somewhere. If we're going to be recording, we called it the Iron Board Sessions a couple summers ago. I was in hotels and I was trying to, you know, put it at good angles and stuff like that. And the only thing that was there that I could set it on was an iron board, right? So, you know, every podcast I recorded in that room, you know, it was part of the iron board sessions. And then, you know, I started using it at every hotel that I went to. Where's the iron board? I'd go looking for the iron board first. Good, it's in here. I got to record a podcast on the iron board, right? So, yeah. And right now, like, I'm in my kids' playroom, right? I've actually set it up on my kids' play couch here. You know, it's sitting up on a toy bin, and parts of their play couch are holding my laptop up, and I'm sitting in this white fluffy chair that we use when we sit around the fire outside, and anything just to be comfortable while we're having a conversation, right?
Well, I have to share something with you. I'm sitting in my kids' playroom right now as well. That's what dads do, man. You know, it's a reality of life, you know. So, you know, I like to tell people I'm your regular Edmontonian. I actually rent my house still. You know, I grind and, you know, I work, you know, I've worked, like I said, multiple jobs, and, you know, we just keep it real. We don't need to be fancy. You know, it's as long as we get that organic messaging out. And that's really the magic of a podcast. I was fortunate to get into that studio, you know, Planet Sound, if anybody's wondering, you know, they rent out some studio time. I did it more just because of, you know, the time constraints I'm under. You know, they help me cut it. They help me edit. All the camera angles are ready to go. And I can just focus on, as you know, I'm sure, you know, with editing and getting things going, it takes a bit of effort and a bit of work, right? So,
yeah man. Speaking of which, do you know what viscosity is?
Yes, I do. Yes.
What's viscosity in your own words?
Viscosity. Well, it depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about motor oil, it's how thick the oil gets depending on its temperature.
Yeah. So what I'm talking about is something similar, you know, on the drilling rigs. You know, sometimes that fluid going downhole has to be, you know, thick or not as thick, and they got to, you know, make it viscous or less viscous, right? And, you know, the Mudman sponsors the podcast, and he deals in the thickness of your load, right? Take that however you want to take it.
I took it multiple. I'm a guy, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, take it however you want to take
it. Take it how you want to take it, man. What's that?
How thick is your load?
You know, I'm about a 10W 40, I'd say.
Shit, man. We looking at the next Rob 40, you know?
Man. That's funny, man. You're funny.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So the Mudman sponsors the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And he deals in viscosity for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. Visit www.mudmanmarket.com. I love that guy, you know, and he got me hooked up, you know, in the very early goings of this podcast. At first 14 episodes, he's like, let's go on a 5-episode run together. I'll get you a headset and a microphone, and we'll make the podcast sound great. We'll sharpen it up. Mm-hmm. Great. I needed that. You know, and then last summer, a year ago, probably around now here, or yeah, about a year ago, he bought us a brand new MacBook Pro. And before that, we couldn't edit. Nice. We could not edit. It went out how it came, right?
Right.
And you know, if there were technical difficulties, it did not matter. You were listening to that organically. Right. So now on the MacBook, I record on the MacBook, and you know, I don't need a headset and a mic anymore. The microphone is amazing on the MacBook, and I edit. It's so fast and easy. It's like boom, 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 right? And shout out to Gord, also Gord from the Second Act podcast. He got me introduced to Audacity, free program. I upload the audio file into Audacity. I zoom in, and you know, you can see where there's little gaps in like dead air, I guess. And like you can highlight it, delete, you know, parts of conversations you don't want in there. You can highlight, delete, you can make the sound better, you can add in little sound effects and stuff like that. It's pretty cool, man. And then, you know, I use CapCut to, you know, put out my teaser trailers and stuff like that, man. So, you know, shout out to the Mudman, because, you know, without that guy, this podcast, you know, would be we'd still be slumming it, you know?
Shout out. I hear you. So shout out to the Mudman. There you go. Oh,
yeah, man.
10W40, buddy.
10W40. Yeah, man. And then, you know, another recent, I guess, sponsor of this podcast would be Rock Rooster Footwear. You know, Rock Rooster is PPE, like work boots, right? And I think, you know, that's, it's pretty cool. I like to give back like you. You like giving back to your city, right? Absolutely. Rock Rooster Footwear, man. I've been dealing with working with different companies for PPE, you know, and discounts on PPE. You can go to Brasco Safety. They sponsor the podcast. And you can go to NWT Safety and use my code Frost10 usually. Well, with Rock Rooster, it's Frost15. And you save 15% on footwear, right? On steel toe boots. And it's rockroosterfootwear.com down there and use code Frost15. Man, comfortable work boots. I haven't been to work in a while, but I'm going back soon. So I've been wearing these bad boys around the house, just breaking them in, you know, because I know what that's like. So yeah, man, it's, you know, the podcast, man, it's coming together, you know. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And you know, you know, it's just the natural progression of things, right? I'm not really making much money off of it, but I am saving people money. So,
hey, roll right on. So, yeah, if you maybe we'll throw a plug in for Rock Rooster Footwear. If you want Rock Rooster Footwear and you want 15% off, it's Dick15. Dick15 at Rock Rooster Footwear. All right, is that right?
I think it's Frost15.
But Frost15. I know it's that Dick Frost. But Frost15. There you go.
Hold on. Let's see here. Let's get the right one in here. I'm pretty sure it's Frost15. Yeah, it's 15. Frost15. Let's retake that. Let's do it again.
All right. So get your boots at Rock Rooster Footwear to get 15% discount. You get it with Frost15. Frost15 for Rock Rooster Footwear. Rockroosterfootwear.com.
I love that, man. Yeah, you got yourself a voice there. I love that.
Thanks, buddy. Throw a plug in there, man, to Rock Rooster, man. What a sick name, man, Rock Rooster. You got to buy the boots. I'm going to go buy some Rock Rooster boots just for that name, Rock Rooster Footwear. That's awesome.
You know, they're cock boots.
10W40, man. Put it all together.
It's that 10W40, bro. I love this guy. I got a question for you, right? You're running against Tim Carmel and Andrew, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, two heavyweight guys. You know, what are you offering? What's different that you're doing that they're not doing? You know, what makes you stand out from the Tim Carmels and the Andrew Knacks of the world?
Well, if I had to summarize that, and you know, to our listeners, you know, I guess I'd say I'm not a career politician. I'm not in it for a long career in politics. I mean, I'm a pediatric dental surgeon. You know, I'm a your regular Edmontonian, and you know, I'm your regular Edmontonian that's upset by how the city's been run. I mean, you know, you look at the $4.4 billion in debt, you know, not really balancing the budgets, you know, like how they call it, and continually raising our property taxes. I'd say I'm very different, right? So, you know, I'm not in it for a long political career. I'm not here to climb a political ladder. You know, if you look at, you know, the best predictor of future success is past success, and the best predictor of failure, failure is past failure, and the track record of these guys speak for themselves. You know, so I'm not in it for a political career. I'm in it for success, and you know, in contrast, I've achieved success. You know, I came from homelessness all the way up to pediatric dental surgeon. That's been my life. My life has been about service, and I want to bring that same mindset to Edmonton. So I'm very different than these guys. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I can't wait to see Omar Mohammed signs out on the people's lawns, I guess you want to call them.
They call it that, yeah, lawn signs, yeah.
You and I had a conversation about that, and I was joking around about how you're like, I'm going to start getting some Dick Frost signs out there. Yeah. And it was funny because I was joking around, and I don't know how funny you'll find it, but I was joking around when I was telling people, yeah, I'm going to go have coffee with the future mayor of Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be recording our conversation because this is how Dick gets into politics. Like, I'm going to record our conversation, and I'm just going to be like, what was that you said? And then I'm going to like hold it over your head, like some movie blackmail stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is how Dick gets into politics, you know, like from the patch to politics, you know, and
well, yeah. Welcome. I think you're in it that we're having the discussion right now, but you know, as a person, I'm pretty open book. One of my greatest skills, I'd say, if I had to, you know, assess myself, would be that I do not get embarrassed very easily. I can't remember the last time I've been embarrassed. So that might be a hard play with me.
Buddy, I wouldn't be able to have a podcast where I talk about dick jokes.
Yeah, I know.
And Andrew Neck. I can guarantee that. You know what I mean? I'd probably make a comment about cock rooster and fucking the thickness of loads, and Andrew Knack and Jim Carmel would probably like shut this down, man. You know, we're done.
You know what? You should try. I think that'd be funny.
I should. You know, you're the first politician I've had, and you're not really a politician. You're getting there. Like you're certainly running for one. But like, you know, you're the first, you know, I think person that I've had that on my podcast that is running for any sort of office, you know.
Well,
that's pretty crazy.
That's quite the honor then. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You made me laugh today and now my head's big now.
Which politician? One? Which one?
I'll leave that for up to you to decide.
Shit. Oh my God. I'm talking to hey man, when you make it to the big office, man, you gotta have me over for lunch, you know? Like I don't know where the mayor sits and goes and has high tea or whatever, but like I gotta be there. I gotta come sit down and be like, you know, like the CTV news is like Edmonton City Mayor Omar Mohammed today was spotted out having lunch with Dick Frost, you know? Like
very good. Yeah, we could have some tomatoes. I don't know. What would we eat for lunch? I imagine cucumber sandwiches of some kind. I don't know why that.
Well, I don't like tomatoes. I can't do it. I had a dental surgery a few years ago. My molar came out. I had a cyst on my jawline that popped the molar, mm-hmm. and then pop a hole in the cyst, suck it up, and I left a hole there for a little while. Dental packing once a week for 6 weeks. You know, mm-hmm. I got the. Don't ask me how I know what Vaseline and dental stuff tastes like, right? Mm-hmm. They packed it in there, and every time the taste was starting to go away, it was time to put a new one in. For 6 weeks, and when that came out, the hole was still there, but it was closing up, and I had to like clean it up with a syringe while tomatoes were getting there, and yeah. Like I got the full on taste of tomatoes, and it wasn't good, you know.
That was it, yeah. And since then, no, you don't like tomatoes. Is that the point when you don't like tomatoes anymore?
Yeah, I think that's where I can, you know, pinpoint my dislike of tomatoes back to that. Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I'll eat your tomatoes. I still like tomatoes.
Okay. Well, have you ever been to Leopold's?
No, I haven't. Leopold's on White. That's where we'll have lunch, sir. It'll be a date. We can even do it without me being mayor.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah, it's right across from, what's that there? It's right across from Hudson's.
Very good.
Right okay. Down the block from the old Strathcona Farmers Market.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't want to like jinx it if I ask this, but what are your plans if this doesn't work out for you? What does Omar do? What's Omar's future goals if, you know, being a mayor isn't in the cards?
I'll just continue being myself. I mean, if you look at my resume, I'm always a doer and a go-getter. I'm just going to keep on doing. And, you know, we'll see what time will tell. Right now, I'm 100% into the campaign. I'm going to be the next mayor of Edmonton, so I'm 100 in that. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'll decide the day of whatever the outcome is of that, where I'll go from there. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll always be with service, it'll always be with advocacy, it'll always be trying to be humble and surrounding myself with people that are better than me and moving on. So I guess I'll just be myself. I'll continue to be myself.
Omar's got my vote. That's for damn sure. You know, like that's awesome.
Very good. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No, that's good, man. Like, but if you do, you know, if it does go that way, you're not done, right? You're going to run again. You will come back, right?
Well, we're all about outcomes. So, you know, I do have a purpose and an outcome, and I'm trying to better Edmonton. If I feel at that point, I'm my own harshest critic. If I feel that, you know, my visions and my abilities and do not are not no longer going to be there, then I'll move on. But I mean, yeah, we'll decide at the time, you know. And right now I'm all in, and I know what we're bringing forward is what Edmontonians want and representing Edmonton. So
here's a quick question. I've always wondered this, right? You're all in on this. What yeah. kind of toll does that take on like a politician's family, right? When, you know, you're in campaign mode and you know, it's like, go. What's the toll? How's the wife? How's the family? You know, what do they think of all this?
Well, that's the privilege that some of us have. So I have a very wonderful wife who's been very patient, who's been supportive. Obviously, you know, even though I'm the face of things, you don't do anything alone. I mean, I have friends behind me. I've got financial campaign support behind me. I've got a lot of people with a lot of ideas. You know, I've been overwhelmed with the number of support. But as on your family, any politician will tell you, you know, it is an all-in thing. It's constantly on your mind. It is a great responsibility. And when you take it serious, you know, it does take away from family life. And that's a big part of why I gave up my practice. You know, a lot of moving parts in a dental practice. You know, it does provide for my family. It does give me financial stability with my family as well. But also the time from my family is all gone. So it is a really, really big gift. You know, anybody that wants to jump into politics, you know, first time for me. That's a very good question, a very empathetic one as well, because a lot of people don't see that. My wife believes in what I'm doing. She knows what we're trying to accomplish. My friends believe in me and what I'm trying to accomplish. And you see the support, and we'll find out on election day if Edmontonians also see this. So yeah.
Yeah, wait, man, I'm pumped. I asked that question, right? Because, you know, you see it all the time everywhere, but, you know, that's also one thing we have in common. I'm not running for mayor or politics or anything like that, but, you know, working away, you know, has a big impact on my family, right? The social media side of things, where I'm constantly, you know, making videos, and, you know, I go out and I get recognized places, and then, you know, the podcast, right? So, you know, I'm also, you know, putting, you know, a lot of time and effort into this that, you know, could be over there with them. And like you said, I understand that so much, how, you know, there's, you don't do it alone, right? My wife is such a big supporter of everything we do here. And, you know, she works effortlessly in behind the scenes as well. You know, she, you know, helps me with the podcast stuff, BetterHelp, you know, sponsor the podcast, and, you know, they did pay a little bit. Right. And so she's over there, doing invoices and stuff like that. She's over here. I'm working with a restaurant in town who pays a little bit, and she's doing the invoices over there. She's coming up with content ideas for me, right? She's like, hey, can we fit this into your schedule today? We need to do this today. We need to do that. You're not gonna be home till this day. Let's do that, right? And then, you know, of course, you know, the economic engine of our family, you know, that's her, man.
That's awesome, man. And that's what you need. You know, when you have that support, you know, that's a huge privilege. And I realize that even, you know, being at where I'm at in my life, I have a privilege to run for mayor. And that it's not just an economic thing. It's, you know, that support mentally, and that support from, you know, people being a little patient when you step off for, you know, a couple of days because you're reading about some tax levies and you need that information, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, support's been huge. You know, I definitely owe her one. If she's listening to this podcast, she's probably going to hold me accountable. So,
yeah, man. Hey, brother, I can hear your kids in the background a little bit, right?
Oh, yep. That's them. Yep.
You know what? I don't want to take any more of your time, and you've already been very gracious with your time. You know what, man, I got one question to ask, one last question that I always end the podcast with. Sure. And, you know, we spend the whole, you know, hour joking around and talking, you know, asking how thick your load is and, you know, like that. And, you know, then we end it with a banger. And, you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the Rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people you look up to, inspire to be, or that have inspired you, who would they be and why?
Oh, wow, man. That's a pretty good question. I would put my father up there for one, because he's always grinded, and he always did what he could. You know, it was all that effort. It wasn't really, you know, much of how much he did in terms of the outcome, but all that he did, that he always gave, is 100%. So my dad's going up there right there. Second person would be Brian Smith, a doctor who used to work from the Peace Corps. He's in Guatemala. He started his own charity, and he brings care to hundreds of thousands of people. He's increased the birth rate there. He's one of the gems in my life. Another one's actually a local hero who's unfortunately going to be moving, and that's Dr. Abdullah Saleh, a surgeon at the Stollery who's brought in clean drinking water to hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, through entrepreneurship. He's working on affordable housing worldwide. So that'd be another person that I'd bring. Jan Foster Cole out in Spruce Grove. She'd go up there. I call her Mama Jan. I don't want to say she's 80, but she's around there. She's a young soul. One of those people who always gives back to everybody around her, a super, super, super genuine soul. How many am I at so far?
That was four, man. But Mount Rushmore, but Mount Rushmore was originally designed that the original guy, the creator put four up there, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but you can tell in pictures it's very small, right? As if there's room for more, right? And the original plan was, yeah, these are the first four. We're going to continue building. Well, I think it was like World War II broke out or something, and he went to war. He died, mm-hmm. and his son took over, and his son was like, well, now it's up to me, right? And he said that nobody fit the bill of greatness that belongs up on that rock since then. So I don't know who runs it now. I don't know what's going on with it now, but, that was powerful, right? That, nobody mm-hmm. has shown an example of that kind of greatness since then, right? So.
Well, I think there's been a lot of, I think everybody inherently is good. And, and I always, back to the collaboration, I'm like nonpartisan. I get along with everybody. I realize nobody's perfect. I always say everybody has something to say, but that's not what I look for. Everybody has something to offer. And, that's what you got to get out of. Humanity is inherently good. And I think there's room for everybody up on Mount Rushmore.
Damn.
Yeah.
Man. I appreciate you coming on the podcast, taking time out. This is my baby, we have a lot of fun with it, which is a lot of time. We're over 2 years into where we're coming up on 150. We're only a few weeks away from episode 150, man. And, at episode 50, I tried to get Mike Rowe on. On episode 100, I tried to get Mike Rowe on, right? We're not there yet. We're still got work to do. So I'm going to continue trying for Mike Rowe. But, we're coming up on 150, man. And, what comes after 150? 200, right? I know that's still a long way off. That's over a year away. It's a year and a half away. But, hey, you never know, right?
Mike Rowe, 150. Come on down.
Mike Rowe, 150. Hey, Omar, thanks for coming on the podcast, brother.
Thanks, brother. I really appreciate it. And, looking forward to that lunch. Let me know when you're free.
Absolutely, buddy. Hey, stay frosty.
WD-40, buddy.